second today. At least that way the kids were finished. All the second, but this is anyway, the father's next. We left off in the previous year discussing a principle concerning getting different opinions in the show about whether it's exactly a condition for each space. And that's the idea of the Safek HaShochel. Must each of the Sfeikas that are creating the Sfeikas have to really be 50-50 both parts Sfeikas? Or as long as it's a Safek Holdo, only some degree of doubt, even though the odds are that probably that side is pointing in the direction of that there, is not the correct answer, not the correct resolution. It doesn't matter. As long as you create a latest Safek, it doesn't matter. Have to necessarily be a 50-50 So we had a Taisu Subas, a complicated Taisu, the whole story. But Taisu was working with the assumption that the Sfeikas, the Sfeika, have to be Sfeika Shokel, have to be 50-50. Anything short of that would not be a valid Sfeika. If I'm not mistaken, the end of the show, we quoted the Ramah back in Uchasnita, we quoted the Ramah from Eret. One of our most famous Sfeikas, remember, giving Shur Mixubas years ago, when we learned Sfeika, told the Bacher, that I think the Bechin is just going to be, I'm going to write like three Sfeikas on the board. I just got to talk whatever they want to say about those Sfeikas. One of those Sfeikas is this one, the Sfeika of Ramah about Uchas Nita. And Ramah says that if you have a woman and she's not sure where the blood is coming from, what are her Sfeikas, and she's not sure whether the blood is coming from the Mokor, from the uterus, whether it's coming from the stud, it's coming from the side, vaginally, or the cervix, or the throat. And even if it's coming from the uterus, it may be coming from the Mach, maybe she has a Mach and the Mokor. There's reason to believe, it's not certain that she has a mark on this, there's reason to believe that she has a mark on the mother. So the Ramah says that's a good Sfeik. You could use that Sfeik to be marked for the woman. So we spoke about that Sfeik on so many different levels. Issues of innocent courage, it is with two blood, it's with Shemekhla, it's hot there. The half a dozen problems with that Sfeik. One of the new problems with that Sfeik is that the Sfeikas are in Shkula. That the subject that maybe it's from the Mokhla, maybe it's from the Stodim, that's not a subject of Shokhla, that's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says that the second Baruch Amidah that stopped davening come to the Mokhla. The woman finds dav, so unless she has a real solid reason to believe it's come from somewhere else, you can't say that, well, maybe she has a mouth. Maybe it's going to the odds are that 99% of the time it comes to the Mokhla, it's not Nidus. That's not really a Safek HaShochel, and there are more still seems to accept that type of a Safek. Not clear what exactly should the rule be. Should the rule be that each suffix has to be at least a suffix shuffle? But even a non-suffix shuffle would be accepted. But the Chorah, this whole discussion that the Rishon having because of the Tzubis and Ramon Tzunda, the Chorah is an open and shut case. The Chorah is in the famous Shigemara, in more than one place, that even a suffix, which is not a suffix of shuffle, should be sufficient. That's the Gemara that appears in several places, different permutations of this Gemara, but the main Sugya appears at the very end of Maseches Yevamos. The Mishnah, the last part of the Maseches Yevamos, is discussing the following Shaila. You have a woman, and her husband dies without any children, but the starting point is that she's going to be the Kukul Yavam, which has that reasonable Chalitza. One small technicality is that there are no brothers. These are no brothers that we know of. Obviously, the halacha is there's no brother. And obviously, she doesn't have to be in the police with anybody. The way things look now, you have Rachel. Rachel's married to Yaakov, and Yaakov dies without the children. So if Yaakov doesn't have any brothers, then the starting point is, of course, Rachel's going to be Muteresh. She's Muteresh. She can marry whoever she wants. What's the problem? The problem is, the Mishnah says, what if we're not 100% sure that there are no brothers? 100% sure. No brothers. The Mishnah says, what if Yaakov's parents went on a trip? They went on a long trip to Medina Sayam. Again, everyone's women still childbearing age. You have Yaakov's 13, that's the Rachel she's 12. The parents are 30, whatever, 25, whatever it is, everybody's very, very young. So the parents went on a trip, they went to Medina Sayam. In the olden days, they went to Medina Sayam, because we know from the Mishnah, and so goodbye, good luck. We're not going to hear from you, we're not going to see from you for years. That's what we asked yesterday. We were talking about the Bracha saying, you know, Rosh Hashanah and Bechaya Mesis, you know, we don't see somebody in a long time, so we might have a whole discussion about different brothers that you make. Many times can say that brothers don't really apply to the brothers. So you can make Bechaya Mesis, you thought the person was dead, in the old days, you didn't see someone for a long time, it's not the worst, it's not a death. Believe me, if something happens, you get 16 emails within a second, something happens. So but in the old days, the Peter say, you don't even know what's going on. The Mishnah raises the question, here you have Rachel, thinks that she's Sarah, but her mother-in-law went on a trip, and there's an excellent chance that they had another baby. And if they had another baby, then she now is a little Yibum. What do you do now? And if they're young and they're having an infant, so there's a very, very good chance that there really is a Yavam. There's a Yavam somewhere in Israel. We don't know about, even if that Yavam is not bar mitzvah yet, even if the Yavam is a little mom, a little teeny baby, then your Echad, he's going to ask the woman getting married. That's like the worst kind of situation you want to find yourself in, it being the cook of the Yibum, somebody who's under the age of bar mitzvah. Because somebody under bar mitzvah cannot do chalitza. So you have to wait. It happened. They had a situation like that, a very tragic situation. Chalitza is always tragic, but it's even more tragic when she can't even do chalitza. She has to sit around and wait for 10 years until the child enters bar mitzvah. So comes the Mishnah and says, this is a very real possibility. How do you solve this problem? Comes the Mishnah, the Gemara elaborates upon it, and says that, we can be mounted this woman based on a snake maker. So the Gemara says that the fact that first is to say they didn't have any children, that's very, very hard. That's not even called a snake maker. Odds are, they hope 25-year-old father-in-law, mother-in-law, they might be able to have any children. So comes the Gemara and says, but we could be mounted based on the following. What's a snake maker? Okay, true, they may have had a child. I know that child was a boy, was a girl. That doesn't solve the problem. There's no key to a 50-50 chance. Maybe it was a boy, maybe it was a girl. And the Gemara says, and even if it was a boy, then maybe it was an AFL. Maybe the baby wasn't viable. Maybe the baby didn't survive. And once in a while, someone thought the baby is born. Maybe it doesn't live for 30 days. Maybe it's not a viable baby. So maybe, even if there was a baby that was born, maybe the baby Lamaik is not Zofik anymore. Those are two spakers that the Gemara says. So based on that, we have a right to be not to this woman Lashok. Sofik, whether it's a Zohar, whether it's a Kevan, even if it's not a Zohar, maybe it's a baby. Come the Rishonim and already observed in this Gemara, those fakers are not shkulim. Every one of the fakers is shkulim. 50-50 whether it's a boy or it's a girl, but it's far from the suffix of shofar whether the baby's an eifel or not. The Mishnah says in the second Nidah that there's a chumrim in the Rabbanim, for the most part, there's only in the Rabbanim, it's a suffix of a baby born and we treat it as maybe being an eifel. That's for the first 30 days. We're not 100% convinced that the baby is really viable. That's why the Gemara says that Hilchos Aveilus, the chumrim of a baby dies in 30 days. The olden days, the question how much this plays out as much as ever. At least reviewing the Gemara, the baby dies within 30 days, there's no Avelus. Why? Because an Avelus will always make it. Halacha Divrei Mikra Baal, they're all spakers and it's Avelus. For the most part, the theory goes the Lakula. So comes, most of the Rishonim and say that's a Kula Derabonah, it's a Avelus, or it's a Chumra Derabonah. Other areas of Halacha is, but Minah Torah, a baby is a Sophic Nephil. What are the odds the babies in April? 90% of babies that are born on the full term, they're having babies. In fact, every once in a while you get a preemie baby that from the old days wouldn't be able to survive. That's not a suffering or shock. That's a miyut. And Abba Bichain, the Gemara puts this as part of the calculation of Tais Vega. So come to Mishnah and say, what do we have in the whole temple about? Tais is saying that Tais Vega have to be shuffled. They're almost saying, oh, having the whole thing. So we showed him about Tais Vega, whether they have to be shuffled or not. So the Tais Vega, they don't have to be shuffled. It wasn't black and white. That it's a suffix, Zohar, suffix became true. That's shuffle. But the second half of the Tais Vega is not shuffle. So of course you don't have to have a suffix or shuffle. It's the Tais Vega. So comes the Rivash in the Tshuva that addresses this issue. The Rivash says it's not the same as something. This Sfeik Sfeik of the Gemara is not the equivalent of the Sfeik Sfeikas that we're talking about. Says the Rivash, why is it conceptually that a Sfeik Sfeika should have to be shuffled? Why can't it be a nice shuffle? What's all that? So comes the Rivash with the following house. He says that, you know, in theory, one side of the Sfeik Sfeika, one of the two Sfeikas of the Sfeik Sfeika would be a Sfeik shuffle. So that the chorus should be enough for the second suffix to be a suffix she'ena shuffle also. That would be enough to tilt the balance. It says in Rivash, how do you really know in your heart of heart that the first suffix is a suffix shuffle? How do you know that anything is a suffix shuffle? The week you go around this term, that's a 50-50 suffix. It says in Rivash, you have documented that it's 50-50. Let's say that's the case in Ksuba Stuff Test. It's a suffix whether it's the suffix of the Ratzon. You did a study and you saw that 50% are owners, 50% are Ratzon. Or it's a suffix whether it's Tachta Ve'edah Tachta. You did a study. study of all 12-year-old girls on the Zana to find out whether most of this nurse, half this nurse happened this way. He did a study. Nobody ever does such studies. So the Gershon says, the book starts, it's literal and night, it's a subject of shuffle. There's no really reason to believe that one subject is more convincing than the other. So, you know, for convenient purposes, for efforts to round things out, we call it a subject of shuffle. But you never really know whether you have a subject of shuffle. So come to the Gershon says, if you're going to start drag with snake makers, and when one of the sides is clearly not a subject of shuffle, and you're going to say, well, it's okay, we're tilting the balance anyway, because we have 50% on one side, and now we just need a little bit of a suffix, even a meter on the other side, it says the reverse. How do you not have anything working in your favor? How do you know the first suffix is a suffix of shuffle? Well, therefore, the reverse throws his hands up and says, that's what Tosafot says, you need 50-50 on each side. Because if you're gonna go gussy, and you're going to say that, I know for a fact that one of the fakers is not a suffix of shuffle, and how do you know the other one is a suffix of shuffle? So therefore, you have to throw your hands up, and everything has to be a suffix of shuffle. Says to Gosh, what if you had Ruch HaKadosh and you knew for a fact that one of the snakers was really 50-50? If you would know for absolute fact, statistically, you have evidence that one of the snakers is 50-50, then we wouldn't be too concerned if the seventh suffix was not a suffix of shuffle. That's the premise of the Rivash. Says Rivash, so what is the case? Give me a suffix of shuffle. Give me something when I know, when I can mamish, swear, believe some suffix that it's considered to be a suffix of shuffle. Says Rivash, the only such fakers are fakers that are beteva, fakers that we see in nature, fakers that we see that have been around for almost 6,000 years, such fakers. What are those fakers? What's an example of that suffix? There's only one on the books. That's called Mechze Zocha, Mechze Nekeva. Means we know that the world is populated by half men and half women. Exactly accurate, but that's close enough. That it's pretty much 50-50%. That's the way the Rebbe Shalom created the world. That's the Teva Olam. That ratio has never changed. It will never change. So says the Rebbe, that's the only suffix in the world we can be comfortable enough to say that it's a 50-50 suffix. It's a real bona fide suffix of shachar. That you sell with the Rebbe, that the world is worked on the premise that there are 50% men and 50% women. That's choyk lo yavah. We say that obviously the Rebbe Shalom couldn't deal with the shidduch rests today, so somehow those numbers are off. But in theory, that's the way the world works. So what's coming out from the sheet is a Rivash, is the following side, that whenever we ask a question, do you need both smakers to be something to shuffle? The answer is, not exactly. It depends on what you're defining. If you know, the Amun Shleim, that one suffix is something to shuffle, then the other one need not be. But if you don't know, if everything is one big suffix, then only then does Salach require the two smakers to be smakers nashkuna. This Gemara in the end of Maseches Yevamos that does have this fake speaker, whether you like the Rivash or the Rishon, a different answer to the Rivash. But Lamaise, this fake speaker exists in Chazal. Suffix Zohar, Suffix Keva, Piyumtum Zohar, Zohar, Suffix, whether it's innate or Suffix, with Zabar Kayama. This Suffix is an official bona fide fake speaker, and as such, we actually use this Suffix, this fake speaker. We've quoted this fake speaker before, the Sefer Rekeach, one of the Rishonim already. He didn't invent this fake speaker, he borrowed it from the Gemara Yevamos and plugged it into a famous Shalom we spoke about in the past. That's the shalom of Eishes Kohen Uberes. When you have a woman who's married to a Kohen, and now she's pregnant. The question is she permitted to come to a funeral? She permitted to go to a cemetery? She permitted to be in medical school? A lot of interesting shalos about Eishes Kohen Uberes. What's the shalom? Shaila, she may be carrying a boy. And even though the boy is going to be obviously coming from Mitzvah, it doesn't matter. We spoke about this. The point that she wrote this year, the Nis of the Araisa, for me to be the Tami of Kohen Kof, for me to take a little baby Kohen into the cemetery, that's the Nis of the Araisa. The cemetery, I'm not allowed to betray this to a Kof, I'm not allowed to cause a Kof to call Shabbos, I'm not allowed to cause a Kof, Kohen Kof to become Kof as well. So the Sefer Rekeach assumes that this issur applies even before the child is actually born. So for the Eishes Kohen Uberes to walk into the cemetery, to walk to the funeral, that would be a problem of this is the Raisa, assuming that she's carrying inside her a boy. How does she know she has a boy? Yeah. She doesn't know. She comes to the Sefer Rekeach and says, therefore she's permitted to go. Why? Because that's fake spake. What's the spake? Suffolk, whether it's a boy, and suffolk, it's a girl. And even if it's a woman and it's a boy, maybe it's an AFL. Maybe the baby's not going to be viable. The baby's not going to be viable. Call not a person, it's nothing. So comes the Rekeach and says, this fake is going to solve the problem. The Shach, and it was Avelus, and it was Tetanus, quotes this Sefer Rekeach, this is permissible. It's not a suffolk shuffle. The answer is, whatever the most solution to the problem was, that's the solution. kitchen, but you like to be wash. Other answer, wash is kasha. But nicer, this fake spake of something zocha, something he came, something name, something brach layama, is clearly an acceptable fake spake, and therefore we have a right to extend it. In this case, it makes us various as well. However, the real application of this spake of the rekach and shach, whether it can actually play out the maisa, really touches upon another rule in terms of hilchos spake, which opens up a whole new world for us. Namely, that's the principle of efshar levarer. When we have these principles of spake, are we really allowed to just close our eyes and say, okay, spake sounds good, that's the requirements, check on the shach's list, and we can rely on this spake? What if we have ways of being levarer with the emesis? We have ways of doing research, ways of doing our work, figuring out what the real facts on the ground are. Are we obligated to do this or not? Can we just hide behind the spake spake? Or do we have to say efshar levarer? We're obligated to be levarer. So there seems to be a big machlokes haposkim in klal spake spake about this. We spoke a little bit about the spake spake. There are more about the wings that break into the lungs. We talked about that spake spake. That you find an animal with a broken wing, and the shaila is, the wing break before, did it ring afterwards, did it make a hole in the lung, did it make a hole in the lung, a whole machlokes haposkim. Is that a good spake spake? Is that a good spake spake? So one of the issues that the poskim discuss is that, what do you mean, did it make a hole in the lung? Is there a hole in the lung? Is there not a hole? Open up the lung and take a look. Yeah, hole or no hole? So that's part of what some poskim say. It doesn't matter whether there is a hole or not. I'm for a hole. I have a snake faker. I met the criteria of snake faker. Forget it. Forget what the mitzvah is. Not mechuf to look. Another poskim say, well, you got mechuf to look. About mechuf to look. You have mechuf to levar. So there are some poskim who say, shach and his close snake faker develops a yisod that even though there seem to be some poskim who say you're not mechuyav to be mevarer, you have issues of svek svekas, you can just rely on the kolam, that's only true when it's only efshar levarer for difficulty. But if it's efshar levarer bakal, it's not much a joke. It's so easy to be mevarer. The shach says he finds it very difficult to believe that anybody can just hide behind the hilchos svek svekas. There's a raya from a Beferish Gemara. We know that at least according to many, the Rashba, the whole svek svekas is based on rope. It's a very fancy rope, the block of ropes, the possibility roles, the Lamaisa is based on the principle of Rome. That seems to be, except for that Rambam, that seems to be the general Mahala, that Svek is related to Rome. So says the Shach, what's the din when you have a Rove? When you have a Shaila, Shaila comes up, you have a Suffolk, and now, Baruch Hashem, we have a Rove. The Rove is that it's Mutter, but it's very easy to be Mavara the Rove. So says the Shach, you don't have to be Mavara? If it's Ebshel of Arbakal, how do you look up to Mavara? He has a Gemara that says that. The Gemara, the Baal and Tzachim raises the Shaila. Let's say a person rents a house on Erev Pesach. So the question is, who's supposed to do B'dikas Chametz? The Gemara says it depends. If the house was rented before El Yadalah, before the Chiyuv or the Abosah kicks in, then the obligation rests upon the Seicher, the person who's moving in. If the house already was still B'shus, the Maskir, the owner of the house, the landlord, still had the keys when the Ayyadidah's Thomas kicked in, then it was on the Maskir, then he was supposed to do the B'dikas Chametz. The other innocent guy, I'm walking in Erev Pesach in the morning, and I have no idea if the B'dikas Chametz is done, if the B'dikas Chametz is not done. The Gemara is a Shaila, am I allowed to rely in the Maskir? Can I assume that the Maskir knew the Gemara? Can I assume that the Maskir knew what he was supposed to do? Or not? What's the halacha? So do we have a right to assume that a Kol Chaver makes a B'dikas Chametz, that everybody keeps the B'dikas Chametz properly, everybody did what they were supposed to do? Or can I not assume that way? Can you assume that way? Can you not assume that way? Why don't you just ask the guy? You just moved into the house every place in the morning, knock on the owner's door, he lives across the street, and ask him. So the Gemara says, no. The Gemara says, come to Lasek, come on. He left already. He's already in California. He already is on his cruise for Yom Tov. Yeah, there's no way to track him. Can't email him. Not reachable. So, can you talk about a real Shaila? Can you rely on the fact that he checked or not? What do you mean, can you rely, can you not rely? What kind of rely is that? It must be, it's a robe. According to one side of the Gemara, that it's a robe, that most people are Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, keep the Dikas Chametz properly. So if most people keep the Dikas Chametz properly, this guy probably checked the house, and I can rely on it. So that's the Gemara's trying to figure out. Is there a robe or not a robe? You have to make a study and see. But most people who are out the door, do they do the Dikas Chametz or not do the Dikas Chametz? But what do you see from the Gemara's question? That the Gemara was not willing to follow Rome. The Gemara checked the Rome. The Gemara said, what do you mean you're going to follow Rome? The guy's here, the Shaila. Ask the guy. So says the Shaila, you have to ask the guy.
follow Rav, Acharav Lahavis, a possible Chumash. It says the Shachis, the Flach of the Gemara, you're not allowed to hide behind Rav, but you don't have to. If the guy's standing there, of course you have to ask him. Look at that, the guy's up there, and it's going to be tracking the guy down. It'll take a whole week till you find the person. Okay, so then, no, then you have to rely on Rav. You see clear from the Gemara's question that, what do you mean, Lamai Nafkamina, the Gemara says, L'shaila, ask the guy, you're not allowed to just stand rely on Rav, we don't have to. So the Shach says in Tolis, make steak, and the same is true. So you're not allowed to just rely on Sveik Sveika if you don't have to. Sveik Sveika is a corollary of the principle of Rov. So Rov is limited by the fact that you have to be Mavar. We're special Mavar of the Kal. You look at the Mavar. That's what they're posted today. I'm the owner of this Sveik Sveika, the Sefer Rekech and the Shach. In the days of the Rekech, in the days of the Shach and the Chav, it was Eif Shalvar. There was no way to really figure out whether this is a boy or a girl or not. So you don't see. You can't be Mavar of the Sveik Sveika. So then you rely on the principle of Sveik Sveika. His man is that's a joke. His man is they can be Mavar. He's going for a sonogram. He can be Mavar. So what do you mean? It's not so easy to go for a sonogram? You go anyway for a sonogram. So let's say the woman knows, for argument's sake, the woman's in medical school, so she wants to know, can I be metoppled with Mason? Can I go to all of Mason? So she wants to know, so go get a sonogram. They'll tell you, if you can, or you can't grill. So it's true that it's not 100% accurate, and once in a while, it makes mistakes on it. I can only speak based on my own experience. And our family is 100% accurate. So far, so good. 4 for 4. So whatever they quote, whatever the signs are set, that's what the MS is. So I don't know if the numbers are very high. I think I don't. Because what are the numbers of the signs? They're very, very high in terms of the accuracy, in terms of the boys and girls. So if that's the case, so what is Epshel of Arbakal? What are you telling me? So it's not Epshel of Arbakal. The insurance company is not going to pay for a sonogram to be into the snake snake of the Shach and the Rekech. So, but you want anyway for a sonogram. So tell them enough. You want to know what it is. So you don't want to know because people don't like to know. That's very nice. Don't go to the Olamais. But to say that I'm going to go to the Olamais, knowing that that I could have taken this easily, figured out what the Metzius is, so it's hard for Chari to rely on that. So one time I had a Shaila, a woman called me. It was the night before Levaya. She was planning on going the next morning to Levaya. She was an Ashes Kayin. She was a 5th month or so. And she had not yet found out what she was having. So she wanted to know that I'm going to go to the Levaya tomorrow. It's 11 o'clock at night, Levaya is 9 o'clock in the morning. I said, it couldn't be that stock. You have Shlevar Bakal. I said, who's going to give you a sonogram in the next 5 hours? So I said, that maybe Rechanan, maybe that. That's the Shach and the Rekech. And the Rel Serpent. Then maybe Kumai and the Sveik Sveika. There are other poskim who are making the Shaila for other reasons, not because of the Sveik Sveika. Means the Tumut Blue and others, the Magen Avraham has a tain against the Rekech and the Shach. He doesn't know why they had to come on to the whole Sveik Sveika the whole place. There's a better reason why it should be more before they go to the Olamais, and that's based on the fact that the baby is not Makabat Tumut anyway. Why exactly? Why is the baby not Makabat Tumut? Because it's Balua, because it's inside the mother, whatever something is naturally inside another human body. Or another animal body, so it's not subject to Tumtar altogether. There's a question what the answer to that Mogen Avraham Tain is. Whatever the answer to that Mogen Avraham Tain is, some say Nachman Avraham is right, some say, I guess the Mogen Avraham, that's really a world in and of itself. If you go with the Mogen Avraham, that you don't really need Sveik Sveik to be Matir, to be Mutti Ibn Manazah. So those Ashes Kohen today who are not running to get sonograms, they're still going to hospitals and funerals and cemeteries, and they're not treating themselves in Fetla Kohanim. Other posts give and say the whole thing doesn't apply. Those who want to follow the Rekech and the Shach, those are machin, others are machin that way, that you're only supposed to rely on the Sveik Sveik when the Sveik Sveik is valid. So if it's not as if the Sveik Sveik is very, very shaky, it's probably very, very shaky, dude. So that's what I think the Ophelia is dieting, that a nation's going to try to be, machin in the Shalom. Remember at the father's Leviah, so there was a Ishis Kohen who called up and wanted to know, she wanted to know what I think, whether she should be able to come to Levaya based on Ashes Kohen. I said to her, at the end, we didn't bring the urn inside anyway, so it wasn't the Shiloh. But at one point, we were still debating where the urn was going to be, so I said, we stayed outside, whatever. So she said, she never did that before. She said she thought that's going to be very, very funny. You have 10 Kohanim standing outside, and one Ashes Kohen Muveris is walking down the Shach, and we can't expect us, and telling them we can't relent, and she thought it's going to be very, very embarrassing. So anyway, in the end, it worked all as well, it worked out in terms of her, but I think that's it, but look at that, the woman can't find out if she really knows. I don't know. She knows she's carrying a voice, and then the fish owner knows they expect her. And then, unless you want to rely on them, we're going to run. So then the more correct thing to do is be looking at that she definitely shouldn't come into the life. Yeah,
you're definitely out.
I don't even think that's a late as a suffix. That's exactly what it is. It's a late as a suffix. It's still a suffix at birth. The women's plashing around the time you carry high, low, and somewhere in the middle. That's really no validity of any of it. Up until now, we've been discussing the principle of Sveik Sveika primarily in the realm of Issa Neheter, which of course with the main city was, so the city of Sveik Sveika. The whole Sveik Sveika, the Gemara, we said, all of the half a line, we had a lot of places, a lot of shachs, shachmaita, everything's been pretty much focused around the realm of Issa Neheter. Then you have a whole new world of Sveik Sveika. How does Sveik Sveika play out in terms of Dinim Mamanis? What if you have a shayla? It's not Issa Neheter, it's not Echos Nidashah, not Echos Kasha shayla. It's a Dinim Mamanis. It's not really been turned with the Reuven and Shimon, so the Beis Din is trying to get all the evidence, trying to figure out what to do. Beis Din comes to the realization that Reuven is probably going to win the Din Torah. Why should Reuven win the Din Torah? We don't really have Edim, but Reuven has a Sveik Sveik on his side. There's a double doubt. Sveik Sveik, the two different reasons that lead us to believe that Reuven should win the Din Torah. These are all the criteria of Sveik Sveik. Whatever the call are. Can we even invoke the principle of Sveik Sveik in the realm of Dinim Mamanis? Does the concept make any sense in the realm of Dinim Mamanis? So the Chara, we have to go back to the what? Go back to the very beginning. Why Sveik Sveik work in the first place? So we have our age-old Machlokes, the Rambam and the Rashba. According to the Rambam, that Sveik Sveik is predicated on the assumption that Sveik Derabbanan, so that Sveik Deraisa is the cool of the Raisa, and the second suffix is only a suffix Derabbanan, that's all Sveik Sveik's work. And that whole concept breaks down immediately in the moment. Why Surah have a Shiloh of Shiloh's Kashers? So I look at the Shiloh and say, it's a 50-50. Okay, well, Hashem, Sveik and Deraisa is all the cool of the Deraisa, and then I can move on to Sveik and Deraisa. In the moment, what does Sveik and Deraisa look cool of the Deraisa? In the moment, the rule is that you can't take away a guy's money from his suffix. You call him Mosul Chalev Araya. If you're not sure who wins the Din Torah, so whatever the money is, that's where it stands. This whole Sveik and Deraisa look cool of it. It's totally meaningless in the moment. Sveik and Deraisa look cool of it. It's not sure that's in the moment. So according to the Rambam, even the vocabulary breaks down. No such concept, Sveik Sveik, it doesn't make any sense outside the realm of Issa Neheter. So right about according to the Rashba, that Sveik Sveik has nothing to do with their eyes, their bodies, it has to do with the principle of Rove, that the Rashba created the Sveik Sveik on the board. So then we have to really ask ourselves the question, well, how does Rove play out in the Mamanis? You're so convinced that's true. Correct. It's a cloud that Shmuel thought was true. Not everybody agrees it's true. We'll get to that in a second. So according to the Rashba, that Sveik Sveik is the corollary of Rove, so then the real question you have to ask yourself is, well, can we be Motzi Mamon based on Rove? If the answer to that question is yes, then maybe Sveik Sveik is not far behind. If the answer to that question is no, and Sveik Sveik is not going to be effective either, so that wants to think, walk on Isa. Can you be Motzi Mamon based on Rove? So hopefully we're going to talk about this in much more Karichos, when we talk about the minimum of Rove. In general, we haven't even really spoken about Rove. We haven't really spoken about Chesed's Mamon yet, so there's still things to go. At some point, let's figure out how next year is going to work out in terms of timing, in terms of when we'll talk about what. But at some point, hopefully we'll have a chance to continue this year. So the question is, does Rove work for the Motzi Mamon? If the answer is yes, the Sveik Sveik should be effective. The answer is no, the Sveik Sveik will fail. So what's the din? The Chodin says, everybody knows what the din is. Everyone except for Rav. It was Machlekes Rav and Shmuel. In the beginning of the third Pechah Mamakam, in the beginning of the sixth Pechah Mamakasra, it was Machlekes and Marayim, with the Hochel Mamanach Ravana. So Rav says, absolutely. Rav says, Lo Shem Bisur, Lo Shem Mamonach, Rav Mahatos, the din der Isa. So the Gemara gives all kinds of different examples. When you have a Shaila, you're not sure whether he sold him a barrel, whether he sold him a pitcher. So Rav says, you rely on Rove. You're not sure whether he sold him this kind of ox, that kind of ox, you rely on Rove. Going to Rav, you can take away a guy's money based on Rove. Rove works for Hutzi Mamon. And Shmuel says it's not true. Shmuel says, Ein Hochem Mamonach Aroi, famous Klal Shmuel. And Hochem is correct that we pass him like Klal. The Gemara says in a few places that we pass him like Shmuel. The Dine, whenever there's nothing Rav and Shmuel in the Mamonis, we follow Shmuel. And the Gemara says here also that we follow the Gemara, the Dine, the Fifth of the Kama. We follow Shmuel. But the Din is that Zet Klal Gol of the Din, the Gemara says, the Mosul Chayim Lavaraya, Zet Klal Gol of the Din, even if there's a Rove working against you, it doesn't matter. Zet Klal Gol of the Din, the Mosul Chayim Lavaraya. So La Locha, we are not Motzi Mamon based on Rove. The Chora, we're not Motzi Mamon based on Rove, but the Chora, we should not be able to be motzi mamon based on sveik sveik, but either, unless one says as follows. The Rashba, in his tshuva, where he develops this principle that sveik sveik is a rove, that isn't exactly the principle that he develops. He develops it a little bit further. He says that sveik sveik is a rove. Yeah, it's all nice. It's a good black rove. Possibly the box is a rove. Sveik sveik is rove. And then the Rashba throws in a little bit of a hitch to this. The Rashba says, and guess what? Not only is sveik sveik a rove, but it's even better than rove, says the Rashba. If sveik sveik is dinuk a rove, the adish be rove. It's better than a rove. There are certain qualities that even a rove doesn't have. It took us long enough to try to figure out how it's a rove in the first place. The Rashba is going one step further and saying it's even better than rove, and it may even be effective in situations where rove is not effective. That's already throws a whole new multiple into the sugya. So now we're not sure. We thought that the sugya of sveik sveik be multi mamon is identical to the rove be multi mamon. Not so simple. Not so partial. So we have to reevaluate sveik sveik. We have to see, would sveik sveik really be in the ballpark of the multi mamon or not? So the chora, there is an issue whenever you deal with a sveik sveik going against the cheskes mamon. Is that to get the cheskes mamon for a second? Just the mere fact that a sveik sveik is going against a chazaka is potentially problematic. We talked about this earlier on in the year also about when you have clashes between sveik sveik and chazaka. Chazaka means you have a status quo. So I know for the last 10 years this will be an issue. Now I have a sveik sveik that's going to change those facts. Is that acceptable? Is that not acceptable? That's also something. It's also a shadow. It's also part of that same rashba that you was at rashba. So forgetting about the fact that it's cheskes mamon, it's a filavaraya, which is all true, just the mere fact that you want to overturn any chazok in halacha. The status quo is Ruben's holding on to the money. You want to use fake fake to change the status quo? It's not so simple. When you have a suffix, you don't know what the status quo, there is no chazok, then fake fake makes sense. If you use this fake fake to be multi mamon, it becomes very problematic. It's problematic in terms of the mamonis, it's problematic in terms of fake fake as well. So this is a big, big tumult. Shah, Amal, that's fake fake against chazokas, fake fake against mamonis. It becomes very, very complicated. What's the dinner? Local nice. Can you use this fake faker to be multi mamon or not? So what do the Rishonim say? You know, we're throwing our hands up in terms of lumbus, squinting around when we know the answer. Squinting around with fake fakers is absurd. But according to the Rashba, we can negotiate it. According to the Rashba, maybe it is effective, maybe it, maybe no. So is there any riot, any Rishon that has anything to say about it? So Tosas has what to say about it. Tosas in Ksuvus, a big shock. Tosas in Ksuvus, not death. What's about the topic? The primary sugya in the past, where we've been presenting the sugya, is that the sugya is addressing whether the woman is muteris to bail or not. We have the sveik sveik of whether the woman is muteris or not. One day it's custom for sugya mitzasi. We realize that the woman was redana. The question is, is she since or not? So maybe going to the rutsa, maybe tackle, maybe edit that. So you have all the different sveikas that have been lined up. But for the last month, we've been addressing the sugya only from the vantage point of the Issel Abayla. There's a totally different issue that takes place in the Sugya, and that's what's doing Ksubis. Why are we talking about this Ksubis Daftes? Because we're talking about Tayyip Ksuban, we're talking about whether the husband has to pay the Ksuban or not. If the woman was yes Madana, then the husband doesn't have to pay the Ksuban. If the woman was dead, so she was ready, it's not her fault, then the husband, even if he's in divorce, he's going to have to pay the Ksuban. So whenever you learn the first 20 planning Ksubis, you always have to ask yourself two questions. Is the woman with Teres, and is there going to be the Dinamonis that's going to have to be invoked here? So comes Taisus Nul Sigid Daftes and throws out the question, what about the Ksuba? Forget about whether the woman's Muteris. What's going to be with the Ksuba? Is the husband going to have to pay the Ksuba now? So basically, Taisus says that we have to create a new question, namely, Sveik Sveika, Mahaisi Mama. Can we use the principle of Sveik Sveika to make the husband pay the Ksuba? Can we use Sveik Sveika to Lamathir Levaila? Or can we use Sveik Sveika to be Mahaisi Mama? Can the husband have a right to say, it's my money, I'm not paying you? Don't prove to me that you're entitled to the Ksuba. I see a Pesach Ksuba. If you're a nation of Shazimsa, I don't think that you're entitled to the Ksuba. Can we base them, say them, no, you better pay the Ksuba? This is a fake fake to force you to pay the Ksuba. You mean once we're going to pass in one, then we're going to be forced to pass in the other? Has already been involved. World, maybe a difference. It's possible. It is a possibility. Sometimes the mummon does follow the yisur. It's a possibility. So Taisus throws out this idea that we're going to use fake spake even to make the mummon. Taisus says that the woman will be able to come to Beit Din and she'll be endowed with ksuba based on the principle of fake spake. So, the Kresha Taisus is not there. I mean, I'll be sure if you disagree. It sounds like at least we found a Rishon that says it, and fake spake will work to be Beit Din. So comes the Sheikh Shmaitzer, Balak Tzais, and he says, not so simple. Says the Sheikh Shmaitzer, if you look at the one case that Tzais is talking about, we have documented, Hakol Mikulko, one case of Sveik Sveik El Hotzi Mamon, says the Sheikh Shmaitzer, this is not an absolute Hotzi Mamon. It's not classic Hotzi Mamon. Why? What's different about this case? The question is, who's the Motzi over here? So on the one hand, yes, it's true, the husband's got the money in his pocket, that's correct, but the woman has something else. She's got a shtar. She's walking into the basin with a document. The mice in the document says that the husband has to pay her the money. So the question is, who's the muksuk? So whoever wants to get away the money has to prove. So who's the muksuk? Is the husband the muksuk? Is the wife the muksuk? So on the one hand, the husband's muksuk on the cash. He hasn't written the check to her yet for the 200 dirhams. On the other hand, she's muksuk. She's physically holding on to the shtar. The shtar says, pay at 200 dirhams. So maybe what you'd argue, says the Shmaitzer, that Tyson's never meant to say that Sveik Sveika really authentically is Mitzi Mammon in a real case, that they have a real din Torah. We're not sure that Reuven breaks Shimon's window or not. So Shimon has no shtar. Shimon has nothing. But Shimon creates some kind of a ethnic Sveik Sveika. So Bezin's going to use a Sveik Sveika to get money out of Reuven's pocket. Well, doctor, says the Shmaitzer, just because Bezin uses Sveik Sveika, they got the money out of husband's pocket. That's only because the wife has a shtar on her side. But that question that the Sheikh Shmaitzer raises, that having a shtar makes things better, makes things in a sense, he gives a stronger position to the wife's title in this din Torah, is very, very shaky, because the Chora, there's a Mishnah that says not that way. There's a Mishnah in Masechta Sota that has a Shiloh. What do you do when you have a suffix whether the Ksuba was paid or not? Whether the Ksuba is had to be paid? So the Mishnah is all complicated story. When we get the Sota, he's on the way to Shalayim to make a drink, and he dies. We can't make a drink anymore. We have to sell the suffix. A very wild, crazy case of a suffix Ksuba. What do you do? It's a Machoikis Bishami and Bishila. What do you do when you have a suffix whether you have to pay Ksuba or not? So Bishami says, you have to pay the Ksumi Suffolk. And they say, well, you don't have to pay the Ksumi Suffolk. What are they arguing about? Comes the Gemara and says, they're arguing about the Kerch of Ishtar. Ishtar only is Ligvos, can go be dummy, or Lav can go be dummy. Ishtar that's going to be collected, that should be collected. A Ksumi, it's a valid Ksumi in her hand, but we don't know whether it's supposed to be collected or not. Who's the Muxah? Bishami says she's the Muxah. And Basilo says he's the Muxah. So the Shmaitzer says, according to what I'm saying, that the only reason why Tyson said this case is different is because she's Muxah and the Shtar, but that's not true. The Gemara says in Sota that's Bishami. We don't hold that way. So the Shmaitzer gives you a whole raffle down, what is it? Why everyone agrees this is called Muxah in this case. When all the dust settles, we don't have any real raya. The only Misha we have, who's not black and white, says you can use fake to be Motzi Mammon, is a Tyson Ksuba Stuff test. But the problem is, the Tyson may be talking about a very unique case, a case of a shtar. Well, if that is unique, not unique, that comes a complicated world in itself. We throw our hands up and say, we really don't know what the answer to this question is. But fake fake, we don't know. Are you Motzi Mammon based on fake fakers? We don't know. According to the Rambam, we know for sure you're not. That's out of the question. But according to the Rashba, you can negotiate, you can discuss, maybe it's against the Mazaka, maybe it's better than our own, but yeah, we're not sure. And the only guy that we have to entice with is also unclear. So at the end of the day, this is also an open question, you know, for Space Faker, whether Space Faker works out or not. So poke on him. I can't say we made a complete seat, but all for Space Faker, but we tried as best as we could to at least give the highlights in Space Faker, how Space Faker works, Space Faker is a good Space Faker, Space Faker is an Efshel Bavarer, Space Faker is where Space Faker is at Shkulim, all the different major topics, Hilchos Sveik Sveik Shenecha, it's Hapek, etc. Major issues in Sveik Sveik, hopefully we try to touch upon. But from Yad Hashem, come back at some point when we need the Shiruv, so we'll have to figure out what was and what, that was Yom Tov, not Yom Tov, and East Shiruv, other topics. I know there were some other Arabian topics were on the back burner, there were some other things in the back burner, so we'll negotiate after this.
It's not, it's the end of 6-8, yeah.